Thank you for coming, descending all these three floors from the seventh floor to this room. I think our time for tolerance is over, so we are starting. Connectivity, as far as I recall from my school years, is something borrowed in the Brussels jargon from physics, isn't it? And it comes to my mind that if we don't have connectivity, we might address another term from our physics classes. That's void or vacuum. If there is no connectivity, if there is no way to understand each other, to travel freely and easily to each other, to meet each other, the void will be filled with conspiracy theories, well, fake news, misunderstanding, and finally hostility. We lived in the Balkans for a century or more in an atmosphere like this. So now, with the Western Balkans being high on the agenda of the European Union, I think we have a historical chance through connectivity in delivering energy resources, connectivity in developing transport corridors, connectivity of arranging to have direct flights from the different capitals that we discuss now with Mr. Svelanovic. Still, we have to go first to Vienna and then fly to Sarajevo or to Zagreb or to Ljubljana and possibly Belgrade. So we're going to talk about this right now. I'm very pleased that Mr. Goran Svelanovic, who is the Secretary General of the Regional Cooperation Council. This is an organization which was established under a different name. The Stability Pact. And Mr. Svilanovic, who served as foreign minister in a very difficult period of Serbia's history, then it was Serbia and Montenegro, immediately after the Kosovo War, now is our guest speaker. And Mr. Svilanovic, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I'd like to express sincere gratitude to Bulgarian presence of the EU, to the government, for this invitation, for convening this meeting, which I enjoy very much. I'd like to say to those who've been speaking, both the presenters and those who've been asking questions, how much I enjoyed. I think it would be great if we could have a live broadcast in Belgrade, in Tirana, in Pristina, in Sarajevo, in Skopje, of this debate, because for me, in spite of the years I spent in politics, this was a reality check where we are. And fine-tuning a message which we greeted in the region, meaning the new strategy, is necessary. Fine-tuning between us being quite happy with what is in the content and the messages we've heard coming from those MEPs or MPs who are coming from these countries who are not necessarily very happy to decide in the coming year to three on the enlargement. So this is not an easy task, and I would like really to pay respect to Mr. Kukan, to Thomas Majharti, to Vesela, who was chairing, for really trying to give an argument while fully respecting the opinions of the others. Thank you. This was a big thank you for the performance I very much enjoy. I'd like to say that when it comes to the hard connectivity, there is an agreement, and I'd like to pay respect to Austrians as a hosts of Vienna Summit in 2015, because with a real support coming from the Commission in particular, and there I would like to say Commissioner Hahn as well as Commissioner Bulc, actually the hard connectivity projects have been agreed. I was there. I've listened to the Prime Ministers coming with all different ideas. It was a Christmas tree. Eventually, it shrunk down to the 10 agreed hard connectivity projects covering highways, railways, and energy connections. So a good part of the work, of the homework, has been done. And actually, my message here is going to be that I would like to present to you what has been done by these governments, by the partners. We are discussing the Western Balkan six economies in the process. So there is an agreement, and immediately I'm going to make an excursion as a result of our discussion. Russian money, Chinese money, Arab money, everybody else's money in the region. Not that I was asked to do it, but I will refer at this. Please be realistic. Not everything can and should be done by the EU when it comes to investments. The EU is very much welcome, and it is a leading partner to the region, but not every penny is the EU money. Therefore, be aware, particularly when it comes to the money on China, when it comes to the other ways of influencing the region, Russia. What I want to say is the following. Their investments are very welcome. Let's be realistic. I would add four caveats. And I want really to share this with you, because I think this should gradually become your policy for the region. Number one, as I've said, there is an agreement on the hard connectivity projects. Then I would, in a way, appreciate a message coming from the EU. Guys, if you are getting a credit from China, Russia, whoever else, then use it for already agreed projects. Otherwise, why the whole work? So not something completely different. You present it to us, to Europeans, that this is your priority number one, then use it for these corridors and not something else, because these highways, railways, and energy connections have been agreed as a way of linking with the EU core corridors. So that would be my caveat number one. Caveat number two, when it comes to procedure, tendering procedure, and agreements to be reached, go for competitiveness clause as is a part of the accession procedure. So be open for others as well. And this is quite often something which is missing in the contracts. The third caveat I would insist is environmental. As you are acceding, one of the chapters sooner or later to be open is going to refer at environment, then therefore please try to engage with the partners and their money in a way which is expected also that you're going to do tomorrow when you become the EU member. Therefore, I would add this third element. And the fourth, it would be great if we could also have a kind of a joint venture bringing on board also the EU investors with those others. In all frankness, and I will be frank today, and always, if we can have two out of four caveats met every time the investment is coming from Russian Federation, China, Arab Emirates, I would be perfectly happy. The problem is that quite often we don't have one, not two or three of these. And this is a part of the problem. Let me now say a few words on what else has been agreed when it comes to the soft connectivity, and this is what the Regional Cooperation Council is doing. We are not building roads, but we are dealing with the soft connectivity. The agreements that have been reached last summer in Trieste among the six prime ministers with the full assistance and cooperation of the European Commission are the following. It is multi-annual action plan on regional economic area, and I actually came here to explain to you what exactly this is. This is not a custom union, as been said by President Vučić. This is not a single market, as been mentioned in the process by Commissioner Hahn. This is less than that, but it's still, there is a lot of content. There are four pillars that have been agreed. The first one is, as we refer at it, CEFTA Plus. CEFTA is a free trade agreement. This plus that has been agreed has three elements, actually. One is that they have reached an agreement to go for free trade in services. This is the novice. We have free trade in commodities, practically fully liberalized trade. Now they have agreed to go for free trade in services. They have agreed to make a list of non-tariff barriers so that they can then remove the non-tariff barriers. And this is, I would say, the most important element of the agreement reached, as we refer it, is MAP or REA. These are the acronyms, Regional Economic Area. Then, the second pillar there is related to competitiveness. what the prime ministers have agreed is to go towards harmonization of investment-related policies. Well, this is the task of the Regional Cooperation Council. We wanted to have a regional agreement on investments, but then the comment was, Goran, we don't have it in the EU. How come the six will have? Anyhow, we are still dreaming of the instrument, but we don't have an agreement on that. What do we have agreed on is to go for harmonization of investment-related policies. Investors are very happy, actually. When they come to Sarajevo, they want to make sure that they can invest in the region as they see us as single investment destination, so that they can at least hope for a similar, if not same or the same, investment-related policies. Why are we going for this? I'll explain immediately. We observe a competition. Look, if I was a prime minister of Serbia, I would do the same. I would fight for every investment to come to Belgrade. And it's only normal, I would say. But there is a problem. The problem is we observe a competition, particularly between Belgrade and Skopje, because they seem to be a leaders, doing well, but competing. In order to compete, then you offer fiscal cuts, subsidies, and cheap labor. You get investments, but it doesn't seem to be sustainable. In order to make it sustainable, we thought it would be good if we can harmonize investment-related policies. Another element of this competitiveness agreement is fully supported by everyone, and this is to present and to promote the regional single investment destination. The third pillar is referred at as skills and mobility. There we have reached an agreement of negotiating standardization of professional qualifications in the context of the EU accession, so with you as well, and among ourselves. We've asked the countries, what do we want now? They've said medical doctors, dentists, fine, civil engineers, architects. So in these two groups, or in these four professions, we are now negotiating full standardization among ourselves, which would provide for a free movement of these professionals within the region. In parallel, there is another negotiation process. This is we go for full and automatic recognition of diplomas. We don't have it. We are using both Bologna and Lisbon Treaty in order to reach this. This should provide for a free movement of professionals within the region. Let's be honest. If you have a degree in medical science in Belgrade, you dream of working in Berlin, not in Sarajevo. So the niche is not huge, but we still believe that we should provide, particularly when it comes to the research potential in the region, so that they can have much more of an exchange, because we don't have Yugoslavia anymore there, and we are aware of that, and we are not going after it. We simply want to make sure that we use potential of regional, and that's the idea which is guiding us through all of this. Why is it so? Because we've done the analysis, and the analysis shows that the trade with the EU increased in the last 10 years, but trade among ourselves is not increasing in the same pace. So we believe we should use the potential of the region. The last point, the last pillar of this agreement is digital. We've started modestly. We just wanted to replicate what the EU has done with the roaming. But then, first, I would like really to express gratitude to Commissioner Gabriel. She's done a great job. Because we already have four ministers in the region agreeing on cutting the roaming cost among the four. So our task is now to make it inclusive, to bring on board Kosovo and Albania, which were not part of the deal. And second task is to make the negotiations that we are brokering multi-stakeholder. So it's not anymore a decision of ministers, as it was the case, because there were side effects, many court cases against the governments, by the entrepreneurs, by the telecoms. So multi-stakeholders, meaning we have governments on board, we have telecoms providers, and regulatory bodies. And then we hope to reach an agreement among the six to equalize and then to go down gradually to zero level. But the side effect is that telecoms are increasing the prices between Vienna and Belgrade, while Belgrade and Sarajevo are downsizing. So they have to earn money somewhere. And this is where the Commissioner Gabriel is really helping. And we expect her to present the roadmap of what we call international roaming, or the, basically roaming with the EU, how it will gradually go down. It ain't going to happen overnight, but I really believe it is going to happen soon. So we might become part of the single roaming area before we become part of the EU. But then we moved because the support among the governments for this particular pillar is huge. The competition to host the new summit, there will be summit April 18, 19 in Skopje, and then the next one next year is going to be in Belgrade. I just want to say the guys who came to compete and to present the bids were young, educated, Vienna, Berlin, frankly, but came back and are part now of the teams in the office of the Prime Minister, and they really were able to present a good case. So I very much enjoyed this competition, and a deal was made eventually. Besides the roaming, what else we do in this digital pillar is that we go for an agreement to be reached on broadband internet backbone. So as we have agreed where do we put highways, we need to agree where do we put fiber optics. And I'd like to say Germany as a country is very much engaged there, Ostausschuss program, and the telecoms all together are part of this process, so the business community is part of the process, and we will have an agreement on where do we put fiber optics, how do we link with European fiber optics, and how do we use the potential of this optic because it's underused currently. Other elements or under this pillar are reform of the public administration through digitalization, which is something that is huge task before all of us. So I'll stop here, and I just want to say, this is an achievement of the governments. This is what they have done to show that they are aware that there is a potential of regional cooperation in the process of accession to the EU. And I'd like to express gratitude to both EAS and in particular European Commission for being very much on board with all of us there. Regional Cooperation Council is coordinating, monitoring three out of these four pillars. The one related to CEFTA is coordinated by CEFTA. The business community is speaking loudly there through the coordination of Chamber of Commerce. In a week time, we're going to be in London, and they will present a result. And this is going to be a digital investment platform presenting potential of the region as one of the immediate results there. We are aware that there are so many high-level events this year. And therefore, when we speak about deliverables, what is going to be done this year, we are now trying to define what we're going to present in Sofia and what we're going to present in London in the Berlin process. And my last point for this intervention, thank you very much for somehow making a Berlin process part of the EU policies, as this was not the case before the strategy was announced the other day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Svilanović, for this brisk but very good and informative presentation. Now, I'll turn to Mr. Zecho Stankov, who is the Deputy Minister of Energy. He is serving a second mandate there. His first one was stopped by early elections, snap elections that we had to go through, and now he is serving again the same position. He has been involved in power engineering for 10 years before getting involved in government, and is very well aware about a matter which is very important when we talk about Russia, Europe, and all that, natural gas. Please, Mr. Stankov, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Agov. Your Excellencies, dear members of the European and National Parliament, dear ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, it's really a great pleasure to be here today and to have the opportunity to discuss with you a very important topic like strategic energy connectivity in the context of the European perspectives of the Western Balkan countries. Of course, the Bulgarian presidency of the Council of the European Union attach great importance to the regional connectivities, cooperation, establishing and building of new interconnectors in the region. In the energy sector during the Bulgarian presidency, we will work very hard to the legislative and non-legislative dossiers. I'm speaking for the very important clean energy package. Next week I'm traveling to Brussels starting the trilogues. Hopefully until the end of the Bulgarian presidency, we are planning to close the governance, the energy efficiency and renewables dossiers. But of course, we focus ourselves on the development of the sustainable energy union with with its five dimensions is part of our discussions today. The dimensions are energy efficiency, regional cooperation, decarbonization, innovation and competitiveness, and of course integration of the markets. When we're speaking of the dimension of regional cooperation, that's the point which is important for our discussion. We understand regional cooperation through building missing infrastructure in the region. And maybe I'll start, and when we're speaking from energy security, most of the time in our region, how Mr. Agov says, we're speaking from security of gas supply. All the countries in the region learned the lessons during the last years and the problems with some of the deliverers and some of the transit countries. And that's because now all the countries in the region are working very hard for constructing the new interconnectors. Just 2 years ago, we finished our interconnector with Romania, and now the real diversification we think for the region will come through the interconnector Greece-Bulgaria, which will connect the whole region to the southern gas corridor. And I'm always saying that this project is really the high level of energy diplomacy. The project is situated on the territory of both countries, Romania, Bulgaria and Greece, and the shareholders are coming from three other member states. Of course, the expectation is the gas which will come from the Caspian region and reach Bulgaria, the gas which will come through the LNG terminals, the plant in the Alexandroupolis, to have the opportunity then through the other very important interconnector for Bulgaria, IBS, Bulgaria-Serbia, to go in the region of the Western Balkans. Of course, here it's very important to say that we are very happy with the communication with the government in Serbia, with our colleagues from Serbia Gas, and we expecting this interconnector really to be finished on time, which is planned. And the last information we receive from our partners from Serbia is that they managed to find the necessary grants from the European Union, and some to they plan also to take money from the European Investment Bank, and really to have the opportunity to have this interconnector, what is very important for the whole region. Of course, last year, in August, 1st of August, the both ministers, Mrs. Petkova and her colleague from the former Yugoslavic Republic of Macedonia, underwrite a memorandum of understanding. And now we have a working group which is necessary to prepare everything what's necessary for the feasibility study for one new interconnector with Macedonian, which is also for us important for us, also for Macedonia and for all neighbor countries. Of course, the opportunity to transfer gas from many sources is a big opportunity to Macedonia to diversify the suppliers. It's very important to say that all these interconnectors I'm mentioning today are part of the planned in the future gas hub, which will help the whole region to have as many in and outgoing flows from the region. But that could not happen with bad infrastructure. That's because from our side in Bulgaria, we invested a lot of money of keeping really the infrastructure in good condition. 80% from the compressor stations in the region are situated in Bulgaria, which give the opportunity to keep the system in the region stable, really in condition stable. What is very important when we are speaking for regional gas hub is also to have the opportunity to store the gas. That's because in the region is planned the Chirin underground storage to be extended twice from 550 million cubic meter to 1.1 BCM, which will help to the whole country in the region to store gas on the territory of Bulgaria. And of course, it's very important to mention what's the planned events, and maybe the most important one related with the connectivity of the gas sector is the high-level event of the interconnectivity group. Central and South Europe, we are calling this CESEC group. CESEC is coming back in Bulgaria. Well, the first meeting for establishing the CESI group was in Bulgaria 2015, and now we are hosting again the meeting. Of course, during the last meeting in Romania was taken the decision that this group will be extended because everybody saw the good perspectives and the hard work from the Western Balkans and the countries from the member states from the European Union, and now they integrated not only gas projects, projects from the renewable sector, from the energy efficiency sector, and of course from market coupling sector. When I'm saying for I want to say also a few words for market coupling. Bulgaria started just 2 years ago the energy exchange on the territory of Bulgaria, and now we are working very hard for coupling this platform with our colleagues with Romania. There are some discussions also with the colleagues from Serbia. Of course, the colleagues from former Yugoslavic Republic of Macedonia are just choosing a company which will start or planning to start in the future energy exchange that will help the region really once again to rise the security of energy supply, of electricity supply. And of course, he is very important to mention that the region is very good connected from the electricity sector side, but we don't have to forget that the energy consumption is always rising. That means that we have to plan in the future a new electricity lines with the neighbors. That's with a few words that I wanted to say. I would be happy if there are some questions to develop the discussion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. Now, we have 25 minutes if we don't want to miss the buffet lunch for question time. May I ask those who would like to pose a question to Mr. Svilanovic or to Mr. Stankov, just to present themselves, since we don't have here any facility for this. So the floor is for the delegates. Yes.
Yes, my name is Salima Belhai. I'm a member of the Dutch Parliament, member of the Defense Committee, and Vice President of the European Committee. I'm really happy to be here, especially because I had the pleasure to live here for a couple of months in Sofia, so I'm sure it is beautiful here. I was really interested especially in this workshop because I'm convinced that energy is probably the most important topic in all the conflicts we see in the world. And what I see is that you have two kind of people. People who address the problem from a climate perspective. I call them the believers. I'm one of them. And you see the other part who denying the climate aspect and wants to focus on the problem of energy and prices which will rise, which could be bad for business and, of course, is bad for people. And I remembered the big debate about the South Stream. And yeah, I think it's a good example how a bigger conflict can influence big projects, but also has direct influence on people. And I think Bulgaria is also a good example what happens then in political sense. So I was wondering, perhaps you can tell me more about all the initiatives you take, what the effect is on the broader debate about energy, I could call it the energy conflict, more use and less presence, and what the effect is on people, because I think it's good to hear that there are a lot of possibilities, but if the prices rise, you will in the end have your own energy revolution again, and it could happen everywhere, anywhere. So I was wondering if you could perhaps reflect on those topics. Thank you.
Thank you. Shall we proceed question and answer, or shall we collect a few questions and then ask speakers to answer? I think we can, okay, we'll continue grouping the questions, okay.
Stefan Jenach from Austria. I think I was in my former life a Balkan-born person. So many time I spent in my life, especially for missions for Council of Europe in Balkan. to pose of you. When I'm speaking with young people, either in Beograd or in Skopje or in Sarajevo, there is always the same. They tell me, where is our future? Where is our future? The European Union, the cooperation brought international companies, they make the pressure on our salaries, they push us out of jobs, we cannot move on. Or in Sarajevo, they say, if we have to decide if I'm Croatian or Serbian or Bosniak, if it's not enough to be Bosnian, then we want to go. We want to leave this country. We don't want to follow what a government or a political caste create as a thematic which has nothing to do with the people, especially with the young people. So I think you said all the projects which should come, but you have to realize you need jobs for the young people. And you have to give them also by policy a perspective in their country that they can do something and that they can change something. And now to the energy sector, you said nearly as footnote, energy efficiency and renewable energy. I think you should bring it very high on the top level, because there are the new jobs, there are new possibilities. There you can go much more closer to the villages and the cities and create jobs, as we saw in the crisis 2008-2009, that in those fields which we call greening jobs, that there was no crisis. The crisis was in the other jobs. So please rise up. I know a lot of initiatives, for example, what was done in Croatia, and also because I was 8 year chair of all the Mediterranean states regarding energy and environment of the Union for the Mediterranean. And I know there are a lot of initiatives, but I think you have to give more power in that field than you can also offer, because fossil energy is the energy which is ending one day.
Well, still some decades to go with fossil fuels, I think. Well, yes, please.
Thank you. I'm Sofia Arkelsten. Yeah, it's my city, almost, from Sweden. And Sweden and the Nordic countries, we work quite hard with the strategic connectivity. And in some areas, it works out quite fine. In others, we still have a lot to do, like the energy grid, for example. It's kind of underdeveloped between Norway and Sweden, for example. We have a military cooperation called Nordefco. And that's also interesting because some countries are not members of EU, some are members of NATO, and the most important thing about Nordefco is that it's driven by necessity. It's not like a political project, it's driven by necessity. So I was trying, maybe if you could elaborate a bit more on what are the driving forces for your work with strategic connectivity. And another part of that question is, could you say something about the balance between cooperation and also competition? Because I'm guessing everyone wants to have these, everyone wants to have the money and the jobs, as you mentioned, which is like the basic of everything. Thanks.
Thank you. And I'm taking one last question, because we're already...
Thank you very much. I'll introduce myself. My name is Georgi Mikhailov, and I'm a member of Bulgarian Parliament. My question is to our, honestly, chairmen, Mr. Svilanovic and Mr. Stankov. I have read that in background information, the level of investment for about the transport connectivity in strategic energy from European Commission totaling 194 million in grants and 500 million
like leveraging investments. Maybe you know that last month in Bulgaria was opened a partial project for corridor number 10. It's only 50 kilometers. We have to know that Balkans are mountain region, and it's very difficult to construct highways and railways. And the level of investment from the European Commission is about 500 million euro only for these 50 kilometers in Bulgaria. Do you think that this level of investments in whole Western Balkans is enough, modest, or from my point of view, absolutely insufficient? And I absolutely support my colleague from Austria, who told us about the problems of young people in this region. And for to be honest, that you have said that the dream of every doctor is to have a medical diploma from Belgrade, but to work in Berlin. It's a real dream, but it's a useless dream, unfortunately, because we are now in a position in whole region not to have medical specialists, not to have IT specialists, not to have engineers. And I think that this workshop is very, very important, because we have to work so hard that in near 10 years, construct connectivity with whole Europe and between us also, because from the point of view of Bulgaria, not only corridor number 10 is very important, but corridor number 8 also. And that's why my question is, what are you thinking about this in the near future? Thank you.
Well, now, Mr. Svilanovic.
Yeah, I'd be happy to answer the question coming from Austria, then this one from Bulgaria, and I'd like to offer some, and Sweden, I'm sorry, I will skip yours because I think it's more for a colleague of mine. And I'll offer some figures. And you may not like all of the figures I'm going to share with you. So we are doing this Balkan Barometer regularly. We've done 4 in a row. Please visit our website, rcc.int. It's very much in compliance with Eurobarometer. And it's relevant information. What do people think of? There are 100 questions to the people and more or less to the business community, because there are two things. There is also business barometer, what the business community is thinking of. One information that I'm going to share with you, well, ask whether they are considering of leaving. Every second person has said yes. Every second from the 6 economies you are considering today. As we are a very old society like Bulgaria, Serbs and Bulgarians are there, I think, among oldest. We are not discussing youth. It's not about students saying we are considering leaving. We are discussing people who are 40 plus. So please be aware, particularly Vienna, number of Serbs there is huge. But also, if you add others, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Croatia, you have hundreds of thousands in Austria. So what I'm telling you is the following. Those who are getting ready to leave now are 40 plus, do earn roughly 2,000 euros a month, which is big money in Belgrade and in Sarajevo, are well connected in Vienna, in Berlin, in Paris, and therefore able and ready to leave. And they're leaving. Well, ask, come on, why? You're not the poorest part of the society. The answer is very much related to what we refer at as a rule of law state. I'm fed up with this politics. I'm fed up with the health system, with the communication, with the corruption. I had my dream 2000, after the wars and the changes and everything, and 20 years after, Belgrade is still Belgrade, Vienna is still Vienna. Yes, there is a progress in the region, but it is not to be compared to the progress that they observe and they are ready to leave. This is why I said, you ain't gonna like these figures. But on the other hand, after the fall of Berlin Wall, you had millions coming from Eastern Europe, tens of millions, to be very frank. And now you have this process with the 6 economies, which is there. I mean, I'm honestly saying what is happening. It's not the students who are going there studying. Some are coming back, some are staying, many are staying. It's now this generation of people who are simply fed up. And this is very much related to how they see the society and developments in society, particularly how the state is functioning. And this is why I really applaud to those who insist on rule of law state, on media freedom, on judiciary, which is not reform, this is what is the drive for them to live. Speaking about employments, we have developed a strategy, SE 2020, very much similar to Europe 2020, and there we follow. There are 11 regional targets related to growth, employment, education, trade among ourselves, trade with you, etc. And we follow the development. You can also find this on our website. It's ARI report, annual report on implementation, hard data. On jobs, the cutoff date for us is 2010, and the platform is until 2020. So between 2010, after we've been hit hard by financial crisis, the figures are the following. Our target was 1 million new jobs, and everyone was laughing. Come on, Goran, what are you saying, million new jobs? Actually, at the end of 2016, we are at the level of 440,000 new jobs, which is not bad at all. What is the problem? 340,000 Serbia and the rest. Only 100,000 elsewhere. So it's unbalanced development when it comes to employment. So it is still poor. We are still underperforming. But these are the figures. And it's a huge task. You pointed out green jobs. I might leave it for you. But I just wanted to share this information with you. What is really happening? What is the level of readiness to live and why? It is not necessarily linked with poverty. It is the performance of society and all of its services, of state actually, and all of the services of the state. When it comes to the question coming from Sweden on regional cooperation, well, regional cooperation council is a different compared to Nordic cooperation because our mission is to support those who are aiming towards EU or EU and NATO membership. So this is where we are. It's not like in Nordic cooperation, it is based on genuine elements which bring the countries together, like climate, environment, sea, fishery, etc. Here it's more, and the first time we are actually going back to the genuine links that exist among ourselves is now with this regional economic area. When we are coming back saying, come on, some might be tomorrow in EU, some might not be as soon, but let's see what we can do and how can we use the potential regions. Only now we are getting back to the really defining the region, because there are comments coming even today by the minister, they're talking to me very openly saying, Goran, but we are not a region, and you are now putting us into a block. So this is yet to be developed. cooperation versus competition. I've told you openly, we wanted to have a regional investment agreement. In reality, we've got RIRA, Regional Investment Reform Agenda. And they told me clearly, Goran, in the text, you should not put agreement. You should not even put instrument. So it's less than that. But still, they have agreed to go for harmonization of the investment-related policies. There is a certain level of understanding. Coming back to a question coming from Bulgaria. Money. I will use, and I apologize immediately to you, Asen, and to you, use example of Bulgaria and Serbia. In this financial perspective, countries are similar territory-wise, population-wise, similar, not the same, but there. And immediate neighbors, by the way. In this financial perspective, Serbia is going to get from IPA funds, from the EU, 1.5 billion. At the same time, immediate neighbor is from cohesion funds, will be allowed to draw 9 billion euros. When do you think this gap is going to be closed? And I'm speaking about immediate neighbors. Not to mention currently Croatia, Miro, I'm looking at you, and Bosnia and Herzegovina. Immediate neighbors, great and genuine interest in cooperation between Croatia and Bosnia and Herzegovina. And you already see this change with Croatia joining the EU, two new airports, or renewed airports, Dubrovnik and Zagreb. And what do you think is going to happen? When do you think this gap is going to be closed? And I'm saying only immediate neighbors in the region with genuine interest to cooperate. What kind of a growth rate you would expect in Serbia to cope with this? And I'm speaking only about EU money, as you pointed out, EU money. Not to mention then EU investments. So the EU is still a leading investor, not only in Serbia, but in the rest of this region, a leading one. Speaking about the EU money jointly, but also speaking about individual investors coming from different countries. So you go country by country, it is Germany, it is Austria, it is Slovenia, it is Italy, Greece, etc. So they are very much present, but still be aware of the competition existing. And this is why I deliberately mentioned China, Russia. Russia, when you speak about the money, it's frankly peanuts when it comes to real investments. China is something different. It is real money. It is quick. I was moderating, I was doing your role with the prime ministers recently, and I've asked, Serbia, I've asked, and yes, Turkey as well. But still the money is, the figures in Bosnia is still very much below what Bosnia-Herzegovina expected from Turkey. More money is coming to Serbia because it's a bigger market. And Emirates, I mentioned, yeah, it's not only China. I mentioned Emirates in my first intervention. But just wanted to say, try also to be realistic. And of course, I am trying to be realistic. I'm speaking about give us more money, but I'm not saying give less to Bulgaria. And I'm aware that I'm saying this in the context of the second biggest contributor leaving the EU, meaning the UK. So it is a complex game. And we are aware, therefore, we have in the region high expectations from this new strategy that some other funding from the EU will be available. I'm referring to cohesion funds. I hope for a positive development in this respect. Otherwise, I'll stop here. There is no such thing like a vacuum in geopolitics, and you're aware of that. Some is out, somebody else is in, bad as it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Stankov, you have 4 minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Maybe I'll try to speak faster than I can. Of course, first question, energy and environment. We are together at the moment. I mean, in the future, it's planned to stay together. With the integrated plans, which is necessary to be negotiated now in the trilogues, we are showing that all the measures which have to be taken in the energy sector are depending on the future development of the environment. Of course, that will have some impacts on the energy prices and so on, but it's important to say that we have to manage it to find the balance. You can see that renewable energy installations, the prices are going lower and lower. And here, the Bulgarian had a good experience because our target from 16% for renewable energy, we have reached 2013, 7 years earlier than the target was necessary to be fulfilled. We showed the other member states that even a small country like Bulgaria can do it with better figures than the other. Of course, after reaching these numbers, we just stop subsidizing directly this sector, but we give the opportunity to all companies working to the territory of Bulgaria to be experienced, and now they are working also very hard on the other territories of Europe, Near East, and Africa, and who knows, where, even in US so far, I know. Of course, to have a really good prices and maybe one of the measure to have a balanced price in the whole region is really this better connectivity and coupling of the markets. Coupling of the markets is saying the following one. The colleagues from Sweden, next to Norway, and they know how cheap the energy in Norway is because of the so much water. 95% of the energy from Norway is produced from their reservoirs. They use the water many times until the whole energy is being produced. Of course, this energy is staying not only in Norway. That's one of the ways which, for example, the Germans are balancing their energy system with the whole offshore wind they are having. They built a new underwater line with Norway, just having the opportunity to balance with water. It's the same we are doing also in Bulgaria. We have about 15% energy produced by 12% energy produced by hydro, and we are balancing this 18% from the renewables which are already on our territory. With the better interconnectivity in the region and coupling of the HUPEX, OPCOM in Romania, IBEX in Bulgaria, the colleagues from Serbia, we will give the opportunity really to trade the energy, and that will give the opportunity where the cheaper energy, for example, from Norway to come to Bulgaria, or just to balance the prices in the future, that's to find really the opportunity to have the one and the same price, not higher in Bulgaria and lower in Norway, the one and same price in the whole region in Europe. Of course, it will be very difficult also for the trialogues to negotiate how exactly should be the it's necessary to be the for the next 10 years the European goal. The Council is saying 27% for renewables, the Parliament is saying 35%. Now is the moment the Bulgarian presidency to sit together to find the balance between the proposal from the Commission, the common approach from the Council, and that what the colleagues from the Parliament want, to find the balance and really to put a European goal, and to know every country to know what is the European goal and to work in this direction. It's the same for energy efficiency. Energy efficiency, the common approach in the Council, 30%, European Parliament saying 35%. Of course, here is your questions. What is happening with the energy poverty? First of all, we need one and the same definition for energy poverty in the whole region. What means high energy prices? The prices are high for somebody and not high for others. That's because we have to find really one and the same definition for energy poverty and to find long-term and short-term measures to fight against it. Maybe short-term measures should be some kind of subsidiary, social payments or something like that, but that will give us in the long term no results. In long term perspectives, we have to think loudly for higher effects of the energy efficiency, really investing directly in the energy efficiency, which will decrease the electricity consumption and will help to the people and to minimize this growth from the energy poverty in every country. Bulgaria is very good experience in this. Just for the last 2 years, we invested 2 billion of leva. It's about 1 billion of euro, directly payment from the national budget to the households, that 100% grants to the households for renovating their houses. So we're seeing the minimizing of these energy poverty groups and, lower energy consumption at home. It's even easier to balance the system because you know the peaks are very, very good known in the energy system. The households are playing a big role. About the green jobs, everything what I mentioned about the national renovation program and the everything what was invested in the renewables through the years, we saw how many people are working even now at this sector, and we are seeing this green jobs. We even have the problem at the moment, we cannot find enough people working in this market. It's just with the years we are seeing the problem. Even last year, I think we import a lot of people from Ukraine, Moldavia, coming working here just for a few months. Workforce, it's needed at the moment in Bulgaria. The questions of the colleague from Sweden. Cooperation versus competition. I'm always saying to have a better, good competition and fair prices, and from the side of natural gas, for example, you need to have a better connectivity. And this cooperation is coming through the connectivity and giving the opportunity to become more and more competitive. Once again, that's one of the top issues of the stable energy union, to have better connectivity through regional cooperation, integration of the energy markets. That's the important point. I think I managed it for 4 minutes.
Well, thanks for your experience. Excellent. Now, something which didn't raise to the rank of a footnote even is about liberalization of the markets. No one spoke about that. And this is directly linked to consumers. So I relay this to our Austrian friends with their next presidency. So please continue this connectivity talk there. And I'm sure this is only the start of a very serious discussion of this issue. Once we have in mind that we have to plan the budget of the European Union from 2020 on.
So we have to think about all that. Thank you very much and have a good lunch.
Thank you. Brilliantly moderated. Thanks a lot.